Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how you
Hey,
doing?
man, how are you?
Doing well. I was just thinking that spaces need to have some sort of like elevator music starting off for you.
Maybe we should just use a session for feedback. I'll just start writing down ideas for the spaces team.
Right, cool. I'm trying to get Madonna up to co-host, and then we can get started.
Cool.
It really helps to have a co-host because sometimes the spaces will kick you out, but if you have another host, it will keep it alive for you.
Nice.
Madonna,
Hello.
can you hear us? Hey, there you are.
Yes, I can hear you. So what I did is that I have an iPhone too. So today I decided to join using my iPhone. Oh, my
Oh,
phone.
scandalous.
I know. Scandalous.
Hi, Madonna. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome.
Oh boy, I see some of my Android pals in here. I see you, Kevin, Danny, Adam. No, I see you all.
All right, well, we'll just give people a couple minutes to join, but how's everyone's Friday going?
Good. It's been a week, I tell you. I'm sort of glad the week's coming to an end. It's also been brutally cold here in Chicago, so looking forward to a long weekend. We actually have a day of rest. It's called a day of rest at Twitter. So on occasional Mondays, we get a random sort of Monday off once per month. So our day of rest is on Monday, so we get a nice 3-day weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that idea. We have no meetings Friday, which is like no meetings, do your thing. But today is pretty good. It's snowing from morning. So I've been driving around and it's been snowing, which is beautiful because tomorrow I think we have a blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Alrighty. Yeah, it looks like we got a good amount of people here. I hope everyone's having a good day. Just want to introduce Dan. He is an engineering manager at Twitter. And if you want to give a little bit more of your background, Dan, how you got into Android development or anything you really want to tell us, we would love to hear it.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I see some of my pals here, so some of you may know me. I'm Dan. I'm an engineering manager at Twitter. I work on the client UI team at Twitter. So that's a foundational UI team that sort of feature teams. So features being like the home timeline, search, DMs, things like that. Our team is sort of responsible for helping those teams ship as quickly as they can. So we work on things like tools and frameworks, things like Compose for this audience, design system components, stuff like that. Prior to coming to Twitter, I worked at a as an Android developer at a small software company here in Chicago for about 8 years. So as it relates to this conversation, we're going to talk a little bit about how I went from sort of being an Android engineer to an engineering manager, which has been an interesting move. But yeah, I live in Chicago. I'm married. I have twin boys who just turned 10. And then, of course, I have an amazing dog, my best buddy, Eugene. As well. And I am excited to talk to you all, and I'm happy to really like answer as much as I can. I've been at Twitter as an engineering manager for about 5 months, so I definitely do not know, but I'm happy to answer as honestly as I can about whatever you all might have questions about.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think you're in a really unique situation because I know a lot of people deal with this sort of career transition consideration because a lot of companies don't necessarily have well-established engineering career paths. And so management is like what they see themselves progressing as if they were to stay at a company for a while. So I'm really excited to hear what that's like and how you are handling it and what it means to you to put aside your engineer hat and put on the manager hat.
Yeah, it's been a trip, that's for sure. I do think, like, when I was sort of starting out, so I started off as a server-side Java developer way back in the early 2000s. I think back then there was definitely like a sort of pick your path, and there was like a, you can sort of continue on as like you got to a certain point in your development, your engineering career, and you would either have to pick like go to management, take the management track or take the engineering track. And then you would sort of like graduate to like architecture, sort of like that would be like the technical track. It seems like though over the past, hopefully, I don't know, 5 to 10 years at least, many companies have at least allowed that what we call the individual contributor track, right? The IC track. So it's separate but parallel to the engineering management track. So I think, or I hope at least, it's not a either or situation choice as much anymore. I'm sure it is in like some maybe smaller companies where the paths aren't quite as clear. But I'm hopeful that it's not like you have to move into management. I hope that it's more of an active choice on people's part. And I think it almost needs to be, considering that it's very, very, very different. The types of things that are expected from you, the types of work that you do, your mindset going into a given day of work is totally different. So it's very unfair to sort of pigeonhole someone into a management track if that's not something that they're interested in. We can talk about, you know, what that means. But I think it's a little better these days. I don't know if anybody has any opinions on if they're being forced into management. I would be interested to hear about that. But I think it's not as bad as much lately.
Cool. I definitely want to dive into that a little bit. But before that, I just want to encourage anyone who has any questions to either reply to one of the tweets that I sent out or DM Madonna or myself, or come up and ask us and come up and speak. We will have you up here and you can ask Dan or me or Madonna or anyone else who's up here yourself any questions you have. So would like to keep it more focused on this part of the journey, but you know, at the end of the space, if some other topics come up, that's great. So yeah, diving into that transition a little bit, I am curious, like, what made you want to think about going the engineering manager track versus staying an individual contributor?
Yeah, totally fair, valid question. So, you know, like with most decisions, it wasn't really like a single one or two, even three things, right? It was a lot of things kind of combined that I had to think about. So when I left my last job, I had some time to sort of like consider this. So luckily, it wasn't like there wasn't like a ton of pressure for me to think about it right away. I could sort of take my time. What it came down to for me was like, I really legitimately like asked myself, not only for like my career, like how could I challenge myself, but like, how did I think that I could kind of make the biggest impact given my career to date, like 20 years of like basically more or less being an engineer and not necessarily being a manager most of that time. There was like little stints of it. And so I started really challenge myself to think about what it is how do I actually want to have the most impact? And of course, product development, design, programming, all those things are very important and they have tremendous impact to the world and the products you create. So I'm not downplaying that at all. But for me, I started thinking about like, I think I could have a decent impact or maybe a different impact by working with human beings a little bit more, right? Like being more involved in the human side of a technology company, basically, right? Like, so as a manager, at least at Twitter, you know, your primary objective, your primary thing that you work on are the people that you work with, right? Like you're helping them with their careers, you're helping them get through their week, helping them get through their work, managing them to be as successful as they can. And that's a totally different thing than programming or, you know, creating something, you know, like a specific product. And so when I really thought about it, there were of course other factors about like what opportunities were out there, what companies were looking and what that role looked like. But when it came down to it, I'd like the decision factor was around, I think I can do some good here as a manager. I think I can help people like improve their career and do good things at their job. And that's ultimately what it came down to. I hope that doesn't sound disingenuous, like I'm just like blowing smoke, but that's really like kind of what it came down to for me.
No, that sounds amazing. And I think that's something that's really hard to do as well, especially when you are, you know, you start your career so focused on yourself and your own growth to then translate that to helping others grow can be quite the challenge.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. I, you know, in my 20s, in the early part of my career, even in my 30s, I would say that was not like super on my mind. So of course it very much depends on like your position in life, your situation, what you got going on, the things that have happened to you, your life experiences, all those things like add up to a different calculus than maybe what I would run into. But yeah, like in my 20s and the early part of my career, like to be totally honest, like growing other people wasn't like super high on my list, but it is now. And it's just, you know, that can be a result of, you know, being a parent or living in a pandemic for the last couple of years or just getting old. That's certainly part of it too. But yeah, perspective change like that. And that's definitely part of it.
Very cool. Madonna, do you have any questions about that part before we go to our first question asker?
Yes, I do have a question that I've been curious. I wanted to ask this to you, Dan. As a manager, I've been wondering, do you ever code? Or what time do you say that, okay, I'm going to look into the code a little bit? Or do you just support other developers? So that's my question. Do you ever touch the code?
At Twitter, I don't. So in my particular role, I do not. And I think that varies. It definitely does vary company to company. So an EM at Twitter is primarily focused on, you know, the people part of it. That's like our primary focus. I do know that there are definitely companies out there that encourage, you know, engineering managers to sort of be more hands-on in the code. I think given a little space, I probably could tinker around like if I wanted to. Like I certainly have pulled down the code and looked at it, but like it's not a primary function. But I do think it depends on the company. I think even Square tends to encourage that a bit more, tends to have you closer to the tech and to the code. So I'm more around coaching individuals as well as like you might call it like technical strategy, discussing that kind of stuff with my tech lead, making sure we're sort of pointing in the right direction and we're all kind of on the same page. But day to day, I don't get to code very much. And I think some of this conversation or the space maybe even occurred because I was sort of lamenting the fact that I don't get to code very much, like even on my spare time, like at night and on weekends. And I was sort of wondering how other managers maybe did that. But yeah, for better or for worse, I'm primarily focused on the human side of things right now.
Wow, that's interesting to know. I like that because I think it makes sense because if you're a manager and also coding, it might be pretty overwhelming. So yeah.
Yeah. And I've heard elements of it. Like I've heard some companies do where, you know, just try to stay close to it. You sort of just like pick up a, you know, like a low priority bug here and there, you know, pick up a piece of work, kind of stay close to it. And I think that's totally valid. And I like definitely would appreciate some of that. I think that's good. I think it's a good thing to stay close to the work. But of course, there's just like bandwidth considerations and how much time you have and sort of what your primary function is. So I think it does vary from company to company, but yeah.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Matt, back to you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to ask Baldwinder, I hope I pronounced that correctly. How are you doing and what's your question?
Hi, thanks for, you know, accepting my request. So my question to Dan, I have been, you know, writing mobile apps from the last 11 years and the max I could reach is, you know, a mobile tech lead, not even the full project tech lead. So when I apply for, you know, some positions like, you know, a project lead or tech lead, they expect the person to be involved in, you know, all the layers, you know, all the ecosystem, not just the front end, the back end ecosystem. He should be able to understand and explain the system design and all. So I see, you know, that's a challenge for the mobile developers to, you know, make a transition from a developer role, you know, to some kind of managerial role or some higher roles like project lead. So, you know, what sort of advice you'll give, you know, a person like me who's looking for a shift in the role now?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, so in terms of like growing into like a project lead or like a higher level technical lead, I do think that there are companies, I would assume sort of like there are smaller companies that would expect sort of more of a full stack understanding and be able to know all that stuff top to bottom. Of course, you can only do as much as your experience allows you to, the kind of work and the roles that you're being given. I do know that I would say probably at larger companies, and I don't know if this helps very much, but at larger companies, there is a bit more segmentation and more niche sort of work where you could absolutely come in and do, say, work just on like the mobile, like the client application part of it and be an expert on that element of it versus like saying, you know, having to know how all the layers of the application work. That's actually kind of similar to how our teams are structured at Twitter in that like these foundational teams that we have, like my team works on the UI foundational parts of it, but we don't work on like the backend data layer. We don't work on security, privacy, things like that. There are other teams that work on that. So I think could be like looking for opportunities at maybe slightly larger companies that might have more of those segmented areas. That'd be part of it. But I completely recognize like it's tough to find opportunities where like I want to move into this position, but I haven't been given an opportunity in that position. And I don't really have a good answer for that. I think sometimes you just got to get lucky. Like even the role that I got as an EM here at Twitter was very much like my boss, Christian, like taking a chance on me. I did not have like the most thorough resume as far as like engineering manager, but he kind of took a shot on me. I hope it's worked out okay. But yeah, sometimes you just need also just to get lucky and someone takes a shot on you.
That's really interesting. So I actually had another question as a DM about asking about mentorship and being a manager training programs. So for someone who wants to become a manager and wants to, you know, be set up for success, is there any way that they can train or, you know, programs they can take or books or they can read or anything along those lines that they can help get into that junior management position or maybe even more? Because like we're talking about, like management seems to be one of the next paths going from, say, senior engineer to management. How do you find these junior management positions and how do you prepare yourselves for them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I think you can get a certain amount of value from training courses and books. And I have at least one or two book recommendations. It'll be known when we get there. But I don't know. I guess my version of that is sort of training will only sort of get you so far. I feel like, I mean, in the best case, you could maybe like have a mentor at the company that you work at or express the interest that you have, an interest in management. And then somebody can kind of show you the ropes. That's certainly how I came up. I had an opportunity where I was like, I was in that either choose to be a manager or choose to be like a sort of like a technical architect. And I had to make that choice. And I chose sort of the EM path way back in the day. And as a result, that person sort of coached me, my manager at the time sort of coached me into that and like taught me the ropes. So I guess that's sort of an easy answer in terms of like have someone mentor you. I think like from my perspective, one of the primary things that you do need to have in your head is about approaching the job from the right perspective, right? Not so much that you just sort of quote, you know, want to become a manager or for whatever your reasons would be, but like you have to be very set in your head that assuming you're going to take like a people management role, that you're doing it from the right place, that you want to very much help people, that you very much want to grow their careers, and that you're not just making that choice because it's the next logical step. I've done sort of the next logical step version of it and it won't hold. Like, it's just like the next logical step in your career. That for a management position where it's a people manager thing, I don't know that that would hold. I think you will maybe eventually burn out and realize like maybe it's not for you. So I guess that's like one element that I would say that it doesn't really help in terms of like the training question, but I do think you want to have be very clear-eyed about why you're going into that. Like if you're going to go into the management track, why you want to go that way and be realistic with, you know, the reasons for going into that. And if it's just a purely, this is next career choice type thing, you know, I might want to take a step back and reconsider that a little bit.
Yeah. I really like that you said, like, maybe look internally at your company to see if there's something you can learn there, take on a piece of that responsibility for a manager at the company and learn from them, basically shadow them for a little bit. I think that's a really great idea to see if you even, you know, want to be in that sort of position.
Yeah. I mean, like that's the thing, like a training class or a book or whatever, that they'll give you some ideas, right? And they'll tell you like some ideas on like how to do it, but it's almost one of those things that you have to see it working to kind of realize what you've gotten yourself into. and that can be pretty eye-opening.
Cool. So kind of along those lines, what's one of your favorite pieces of being an engineering manager now that you've been in the role for, you know, almost half a year?
Yeah, I legitimately love and enjoy like working with the people who are on my team. Like I very much enjoy talking with them every week, talking to them about the things that are going, you know, well for them and maybe the things that they're struggling with and helping them coach through that. I don't know if that's just because I'm narcissistic and like to give my opinions on everything or what, but like I genuinely enjoy that part of it. So I have right now, I think 10 folks, I used to have 11, 10 folks reporting to me, and I have one-on-ones with them every week, 30-minute one-on-ones with them every week. And I love those. I like really legitimately enjoy having them. It lets me connect with them on a personal level. It lets me know what they're about, like as a human, but also we get to talk about, you know, their careers and their progress at work and other stuff like that. So that is by far the best thing that I enjoy being about a manager.
That's awesome. Before we move on to some more stuff, anyone who wants to come up and speak, I know more people have been joining. Please come up and ask questions. If you don't want to speak today, just send either me or Madonna a DM and we can ask for you or reply in the pinned tweet. Thanks for pinning that, Madonna. Do you have any questions, Madonna?
No questions. I just wanted to say, if you're not following Dan, please make sure you do, because he's amazing and you can learn a lot from him. So make sure you're following Dan. Also, something else that I wanted to ask Dan, it's not kind of a question, but it's more of like a manager. I just wanted to understand one thing, like makes a good manager. What do you think like makes a good manager? Do you think managers should be empathetic, understanding? Like what are those qualities? If you were to, let's say for instance, if you wanted somebody to succeed you, like what would you be looking for? Because I think many of us would like to hear like what makes a good manager or how, I hope you're getting the question.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I might be repeating myself a bit, but I think you legitimately have to care about the people on your team. Like you legitimately have to want to help these people navigate all the things that come and turn into a day-to-day or a week at work, right? Like a lot of stuff happens through the course of a day, week, a month, and a year, right? And you have to very much be willing to sort of, not necessarily sacrifice yourself, but like you have to be willing to give them the time and the attention and the effort to helping them. That has to be your primary like mindset. And sometimes that means even at the risk of your own stuff a little bit. You are there to support and help them. And I think that's like the number one thing that you have to keep in mind that makes a good manager. You know, I've had good managers, I've had bad managers, and the ones that are good are the ones that show that they care. And you can show that you care in a lot of different ways. Sometimes that means just like listening to what they have to say and not necessarily like offering suggestions. Sometimes it's like very tactical, like going out there and like getting someone an answer very quickly or showing, you know, taking action quickly and doing the thing that you said you would. Following up regularly, like just doing the things that you yourself would want someone to take care of you, like, right? That, and it just depends. Every person is different. Every situation is different. So sometimes that, like I said, just means listening and agreeing with them. Sometimes that means not talking about work. Sometimes that means challenging them, forcing them to be a little bit uncomfortable with the position that they have and like, you know, talk to them about the stuff that maybe they haven't had that conversation with anybody else. I've had already in 5 months here, I've had some tough conversations, but I think in the end that helps that person in the long run, right? I'm not looking for a 3 month win here just to like get us by for 3 months. I'm looking for a career win, and not everybody on my team, I guarantee you, is going to stay at Twitter for 10 years, right? Like a lot of people are going to be moving on to other places, and I obviously have a responsibility to Twitter, but I also have a responsibility to those people as like human beings to make sure that they've taken care of and that they're heading in the right direction. And so I always balance those things out and make sure that, yes, I'm thinking about Twitter as a company, of course, but I'm also thinking about these people and making sure that they're set up for success beyond Twitter. And so that's kind of what I was thinking about, because that's always what I appreciated from the managers that took care of me, was that they would think about me as like a long-term relationship, and not just like a short-term, I'm covering you for whatever, however long you're at this company.
Thank you very much for answering that. And I saw so many 100% just being thrown out there. And the reason I asked that question, I'm sorry if it sounded repetitive. And the reason as to why I asked that question is because I worked for this company and they had the website. And I remember seeing so many people leaving and I was so confused. Like, we got a new manager, they got a new manager and then everybody's leaving. Like, what was happening? And then the manager ended up leaving. It was so unbelievable. But I never knew what happened because I was not in that department.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's a very valid point, right? I've carried this idea with me from company to company. But your little world at the company is very much determined by your... There are obviously external factors. There are other teams. There are, the, you know, skip-level managers. There's the CEO. There's all these, obviously, other external factors. But day to day, the thing that makes the most difference for most people on the team they work with is their manager, whatever or whoever is in their like whoever their sort of like person they report to is. So maybe it's a tech lead or something else. But that person makes or breaks the team and makes or breaks the experience that person has at that company. So if you have a good manager and you get along with that person and you're they're kind and they're generous, then it's likely that you are going to do better work and you're going to be better for the company and all that kind of stuff. But if you have a terrible manager and they don't really show that they care about you, or they, you know, if it feels very transactional and things like that, it just seems unlikely that that can last. Maybe you can get through a year or two or something like that, but that's not going to be a relationship you're going to have past, you know, them reporting to you. And it's certainly not going to make for a healthy year or however long it is, right? So managers are like, middle management is a very weird, tough position to be in, because you are managing a lot of external factors, but at the same time, like, you're almost directly responsible for the happiness of somebody working at the company. And that's a heavy lift. Like, that's an important responsibility.
Thank you. Back to you, Matt.
Yeah, I was just going to thanks, Dan, for answering that question. That was seemed like a tough one to me. But yeah, so I think Adam was the first one to request to speak.
Yeah, I actually have a question related to something you answered a few minutes ago around, you know, just letting your team work. So as you know, like as programmers, many of us are very opinionated about a lot of things. So as like programmer turned engineering manager, how do you balance like letting your team make their own decisions versus providing that guidance when you have experience in a situation, but without like telling them how to build it? You know, how do you walk that line?
Yep. First of all, hey, Adam. Nice to see you over here. Yeah, it's a really good question. So my perspective on that is, yes, as somebody who's been in the engineering spot and has experience with making decisions and being opinionated, it is definitely tricky. I would say that on the whole, I let the tech lead of my team and the engineers on the team, for the most part, make most, if not all, of the technical decisions in this particular circumstance. So again, like my function might be to determine like if something like seems like it's way off the rails, and I will certainly speak up in those cases. Like if I think we're like completely heading in the wrong direction, I would absolutely speak up and I think help course correct on that, on those situations. It hasn't happened very frequently or at all yet. So it's difficult for me to say like, how would I handle that situation? But at the same time, I think as a manager, new manager, you have a couple of responsibilities. One is like to not come in super hot. That's for sure. Like, you do not want to come in and be like, all right, well, here's all the things I know from my previous job. And I'm going to kind of set all these processes and we're going to do all this stuff. And this is how we're going to operate, and et cetera, et cetera. Like, that is definitely not something you should do. But at the same time, you do have like a responsibility to course correct if like something's going way off the rails. And I don't know, maybe I'm being like overly optimistic. I think that a good team, a smart team, can recognize when they're being challenged, like in the right way, if that makes sense. Like, if you bring up the right kinds of points, if you make a clear case, if you bring up the kind of right things in terms of like maybe baking off two different ways of thinking about something, you can show that like that there's like sort of a meaningful objective to what you're doing versus just like changing something arbitrarily or just say, or just talking just for the sake of it, right? Like, there are definitely managers out there who just like to talk just for the sake of talking, right? So I think there are ways that you can show that you're like contributing and thinking through the problem with them, and not being like antagonistic about like, I'm just saying this just to sort of say this. But for the most part, I very much lean on the team to make those technical choices. And I will generally, well, you know, I'm there to support them more than I am to correct them, if you will.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks.
Awesome. Danny, I think you are up next.
Danny, hey, what's where up, Dan? Where are you?
I'm in the Philippines right now.
In the Philippines, yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah. So my question is, earlier you said that like Twitter took a chance on you being an engineering manager, but I'm actually curious, was there something, do you think, or I don't know if they told you in your background that they said that, hey, you know, even though you don't have experience being an engineering manager, that we're gonna put you in that position?
Yeah. So just like as a brief history, I did have some engineering management like background. I was a director at a design agency and I had like 10 or 12 engineers reporting to me. So like I did that for a couple years, but it was so long ago that it was borderline. It was pretty borderline whether it was relevant. And like I mentioned earlier, in terms of like my age and approach and like how I did that, you could definitely argue that I made that like that experience wasn't even relevant. I think if you asked my boss, I don't know if he would say this, but they very much took a chance on me in that, like, I think I showed in the interview beyond the tactics and beyond the, you know, exact, like, how would you handle every situation, that my interest going into management was coming from the right place in terms of like, again, like the, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but in terms of like being focused on people, really wanting to help people and all that stuff. And I think, I hope that's what came through and ultimately like gave me, that's why my boss gave me the chance. If we're being totally honest, I'm 90% sure I was actually passed on. Like I believe the initial team that I was going to be hired on would actually passed. And it was like close, but you know, doesn't have enough experience here. And my current manager did take a shot at me. It was like kind of a gamble for him to sort of take me on and say like, I'm willing to give this a shot with Dan. So, you know, sometimes you just, I guess some of you, sometimes you just get lucky. But like I said, if you approach it I think it definitely helps if you approach it from the right place in your mind and your heart, and then that kind of hopefully comes through in the interviews.
Awesome. Thanks for answering that one. I just want to reestablish our purpose here. We are just talking with Dan about what it's like to go from being an individual contributor to an engineering manager. If you have any questions, please come up and ask them or DM me or Madonna, and we can ask. Thanks for being with us, Dan. And everyone should go follow Dan to see pictures of Eugene and other Android-related stuff. Madonna and Dan also just started the Android developers community on Twitter, which I think should be pinned to the top now. So go check that out as well. And then it looks like we just got Yossi Wolf to come up and ask a question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yossi. Hi,
how's it going?
Long time no see.
It's been ages. I know. So during pandemic, I've kind of like actually started to make my first leading project management experiences where I actually have like, you know, where I'm actually talking to people. But one of the things that's been really hard for me is just like finding the energy all of the time during pandemic, especially when kind of like things are getting worse. Mm-hmm. We're now in kind of like an okay-ish situation where I'm at, but it's not great. And, you know, things are getting worse again. So yeah, and then that I always find that takes away the energy from me to actually like make sure to follow up with everybody that I promised to follow up and do all the things on my big to-do list. So in your 5 months experience, how do you handle that?
Yeah, that's totally that's totally fair and totally a thing. It is a very difficult job, especially during a pandemic. It is absolutely, I don't want to say exhausting because it sounds very like negative, but it is very tiring, right? Like you're putting a lot of your personal energy into the folks that are on your team. Yeah, I mean I don't know that I have a good answer for it other than just like I have very much just been like powering through it and doing my very best to like remember that these are human beings on the other side of this thing who are also struggling with a lot of the same things that we're all struggling with, if not more. Like if I'm being totally honest, like my situation is pretty easy and pretty good. I have a good paying job. I work remotely. I get to see my kids. Like I don't want to use like gratitude as a weapon, but like I have it pretty good. So I try to keep that in mind when I'm trying to like, what's the word here? I'm not trying to like psych myself up, but when I'm like trying to build up the energy to make sure that I'm taking care of my people, that I recognize the fact that like I have it pretty good. Everybody in my family's healthy. Everybody's doing well. Like I have a lot going for me and a lot of other people don't, not just necessarily on my team, but everywhere in the world. Right. So I try to have some perspective on that. And that sort of helps me build up the energy that I need to kind of get through week to week. But, you know, to be totally honest, yeah, it's tough. Like, and I think like I'm not sure, Yossi, if you're like splitting time between like programming and the human management part of it, that's very tough. I don't know that I have a good solve for that. Like that sounds very difficult. The energy that you would need to maintain both of those on a regular basis and do them well, I think would be very difficult. Yeah. So also to say then, both for myself and for anybody else and you, like you have to be willing to cut yourself some slack, right? Like, yes, we're like trying to help other people on our team and we're trying to do as much as we can, but like you have to be willing to forgive yourself for making a mistake here and there. Like obviously you don't want to make huge blunders and the same mistake over and over, but like you got to give yourself some leeway too to just kind of be, to forgive yourself if you make a mistake, if you screw up, which I have. Obviously, again, like you don't want to keep doing that and you don't want to make it a habit, but like you should be willing to understand that you're not going to get this perfect every time. Like there's no way. Like, and if sometimes you miss a meeting or sometimes you don't have the energy to catch up with somebody, like I think that's okay. And I also think it's okay to like kind of relay that information and let people know like, hey, you're having a tough week. You can let your manager know that. And maybe you're slipping on, you know, X, Y, and Z. You know, nobody expects it just because you're managing people that you're like superhuman or anything like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for those insights. I actually have a question from a DM a lot that's along those lines, which is about how to foster a good relationship with your manager. So from the engineering perspective, what are some things that you can do to have a better relationship with your engineering manager?
So if you're like, do you think more from the perspective, like if you're an IC, how do you have a good relationship with your manager? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly a two-way street. So I don't want to make it sound like it's like the individual contributor's like role to like foster that relationship, but it is a two-way street. From the engineering manager perspective, I've always taken the perspective that it's just going to take some time, right? There's a lot of books about management that tell you like, you know, you should try these things and do this, this, and this. But what it comes down to is like having some semblance of a relationship with that person, right? Whether that's like slight personal or like you know something about them or you share some common interests. And that simply just takes time. But what that also means is that it's a two-way street and that both your engineering manager and the IC has to have some level of trust to be able to sort of like open up that relationship. And so I'm not saying that like the IC, from the IC's perspective, that they have to like open up right away and like be totally trustworthy. I don't think you should do that at all. But I think you should be understanding and saying like, you know, I'm going to have to put some work into this relationship as far as like being honest, but being fair and being kind and being generous to this other person on the other side of it, who's like trying to help me. And ideally that's coming back both, you know, on the other side as well. Like it is truly just a two-person relationship, right? Like it's nothing more than that. At its core, there's nothing more to it. It's just two human beings who are trying to like work together. And the engineering manager's job is to help that person, right? But to do that, an engineering manager needs to have something to like hook onto, something that they feel comfortable talking to that person about, some basis for relationship and that trust that comes with it. So I think sometimes that just takes time. It's easier with certain people than others, but I don't want to make it sound like the IC has to do no work, but I feel like the brunt of the responsibility is on the engineering manager to foster that level of trust. And then hopefully it sort of happens somewhat naturally, but that's a tough, very soft way of describing what you can do.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of those points. I think that there is like that two-way street that you have to navigate together, and it can be a challenge, but that the trust is key. Cool. Chris, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for taking my question.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, so yeah, my question was, as a manager, do you think that you need to have strong and confidence in algorithms and architecture, or can you excel at, you know, team management, mentorship, and lean on the rest of the team for any problems that you need to approach with algorithms or architecture?
I think it very much depends on the company and like what the expectation is for an engineering manager. For me personally at Twitter, it's more of a human management role. So I'm completely and totally comfortable with not having like a ton of day-to-day like discussions or anything about algorithms or super technical things. In fact, I'm horrible at algorithms and I probably would have most of the interviews anyway. I think that, but it very much depends. Like I said, I think earlier I sort of mentioned that it depends on the company. I know that like, or I think, I shouldn't say no. I think like a company like Square puts a little bit more value on technical capability from an engineering manager. Hopefully I'm not making that up. Maybe somebody at Square or Matt can correct me on that. But like, it just depends on the company. So like at Twitter, yes, I think you can absolutely have a career that's very much focused on mentoring, coaching, helping on the human side of things.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, just to speak to that a little bit, I think it depends on the type of manager too. Like some people might want to be a bit more close to the code and have their eye closer to what their team is working on than others. Some might be more people focused. It depends on their style. Cool. And then we have Aniket as well. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. So first of all, like I'm a bit starstruck with like Dan and everyone here, but I'm going to like keep it to the point. So I was wondering, so I've mostly been an IC the whole time, but I was wondering I recently discovered that I'm autistic, and I was wondering if y'all at Twitter or Square or anything get specific training on how to handle neurodivergent ICs, like maybe they're autistic, maybe they're ADHD, because the interaction can go very differently from what you would normally expect, and it doesn't mean the same for it to go differently for a neurodivergent person. So do you have any help with that? Do you figure it out somehow, your career, or like how does that go?
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. That's very brave of you to share that. Yes, so there's like sort of two elements to this. One is like, yes, in a good managerial situation, you will have training on all sorts of stuff about the differences in people, and neurodivergence is certainly, differences are certainly one of those things. So I have had training around that and like have learned about a lot of different topics that, quite frankly, I was not very knowledgeable about before I joined Twitter. So in that regard, there are elements of that. So yes, you do learn like a lot of nuts and bolts, factual things from training. And it's something we keep a very close eye on. It's something I keep a very close eye on. In terms of like an actual one-to-one relationship with your manager, that can be tricky because it's very much like you as a manager would have to sort of like read between the lines, or the person like tells you that there, you know, is, you know, has something that makes it, the conversations different. Right. So that's tricky. Like, I don't know if like in your situation, I would be very curious to hear, like, do you tell your manager that and then like help work with them on that directly? I haven't had that happen specifically, but I will say that there are obviously very many different personality types on my team. And that is a very much part of the job, is like figuring out what do people respond to? What do people not respond to? What are these people like? What are their interests? How do they react to certain news? Is the best way to reach this person through a meeting? Is the best way to reach this person through like Slack? There's all sorts of calculus that goes into how you manage an individual. So yes, I would say it's very highly customized. Customized, it sounds like very programmatic, but it's very customized to the individual. And I take that quite seriously to make sure that I'm not like robotic about how I treat all my folks.
Okay, that makes sense. So I was wondering if there's any place like that somebody's written about this, because I have looked a bit. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places. If you were to recommend someone to like how for managers for how to deal with for how to deal with neurodivergence, that would be helpful. So I could go and read up some links. Perhaps I could pass it on to people who may be managing me. For my particular situation, I haven't actually told anyone in my workplace that I'm autistic. I just want to avoid a bunch of preconceptions. Mm-hmm. But we did meet once, and then I had to like explain, like, okay, why are you wearing earplugs? I'm like, this sound, I have really good hearing and it mm-hmm. hurts. And just stuff like that. So I've like explained like the detail of everything that comes with autistic without actually saying that's what it is. That's what causes all of these things together. So I just, but that makes it hard, because now I have to, any conversation, I have to think really hard, what is this person really trying to say? And how should I say something so that they'll interpret it correctly?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, so one, to answer your question, to be totally honest, I don't have like resources that I could point to with any around the subject. So I don't think I'm any help in that regard. Yeah, that's a tough question. I would also like very much encourage you to, I don't know. I don't want to like, I want you to think about like very much being yourself and like trying to not to necessarily cater to everybody. I think that's a very hard position for someone who's already has sort of a barrier that they're working on. And I would encourage you to try to not necessarily worry about what everybody else is, how to approach them, and try to just be yourself and hopefully have maybe an honest conversation at some point with the people who are managing you. But I am by no means an expert in this area.
Yeah. So if you know about something, or if somebody else like listening here or someone you talk to later on knows about it, if you could tweet that at some point, I check your Twitter anyway. So an interesting thing that happened with this was like, when I considered telling people, I was like, what do I say? Because you can't Google this. If you Google autism, you get the worst possible results, like absolutely like terrible results. So you can't Google it. And then I have to send people to specific links. And it's still, if somebody's not heard of the concept of neurodivergence, especially in India, it's kind of hard to explain. It would just come off as incredibly weird on top of my regular weirdness. So I'm not even sure how to explain what that means, apart from just saying a word that people very likely have no concept of at all, who would probably be hearing it for the first time in their lives if I said it.
Yep. Yeah. I hear you. That's tough. Hopefully maybe the community can back up and help out here in this case. I think this is the strength of the community in general, is like the power of all of us hopefully trying to push this forward. But as an individual, I don't have like a ton of help there.
And just, I mean, Dan, you did a very great job answering that question. And I was just listening. And I can tell you're a super great manager. And I wanted to say one thing. I worked for this company in Boston that deals with the autism, the kids with autism. And we were building the Google Glass. So I might try to go back because I know they had hired many people who were autistic, which is great on my opinion. So I'll go back and actually look at what they had and see if I can have any resources on that kind of topic and then share with you and Kit. But otherwise, great question. And if anybody also in the community knows anything and wants to help out, we can definitely share the information and resources with Ankit. This was great.
Cool. That's really helpful. Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming up and asking this. And we mentioned earlier, but we have the Android Developers Twitter community now. There's a bunch of great people in there. So I'm sure if you're looking for more resources and are comfortable, putting a post in there will give you access to more people who might not be in this space today.
That sounds great. Thanks. I'll do that.
Yeah. Thanks for coming up. And then Sierra, how are you today?
Always good. It's Friday. Love Fridays. I didn't have a question. I just wanted to throw out that last Friday, two Fridays ago, time blurs together, Women Who Code Mobile hosted Chris Ward on the talk Coding and Mental Illness, a survival guide, and it is out on our YouTube channel. And it was a little bit more focused on ADHD, but I thought it was a really excellent talk and really vulnerable talk about dealing with mental health in the workplace. And so that might be somewhere that you could start to find some of those resources. I think he shared some throughout that talk and shared his own experience and gave some of his own tips as someone who is neurodivergent. So
that's amazing. Was that tweeted anywhere? Because I could pin that to the space if it was.
Yes. I can DM you and find that tweet as well. So
that'd be awesome.
Awesome. That's it. That's all I had to say.
The power of community.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, so we are almost at an hour, and I just want to officially tell Dan that we have way over 7 people here, so we can call this a success.
Yes. We're shooting for 7. Thank you all for showing up.
Yeah, thank you everyone for coming. If you have any more questions, please send them our way or come up and ask.
I do.
This has been an awesome discussion so far. Yeah, Madonna, what's up?
Yes, somebody DM me a question. I wanted to read this out. So the question is, I have a question. It varies from company to company, but what is Dan's opinion on a technology-specific engineering manager? For example, Android engineering manager versus just engineering manager.
Oh, it's like somebody who knows me. So interestingly, I think that's totally valid and interesting and fine. Our team at Twitter, when I first started, our team at Twitter was actually segmented more by function than we were by platform. So I had folks that were from the website, the iOS side, and the Android side. So I was very much focused on kind of all three platforms and making sure they were all collaborating and on more of a functional level. But at the end of the year and early in this year, we sort of quote unquote reorged, as you do at big tech companies. And we actually became platform specific. So right now I'm actually running Android primarily, and I'm also helping out with iOS until we can find a more permanent hire to help with them. So I'm actually a platform specific engineering manager right now. And I think, you know, there's certainly a lot of good that comes from having cross-platform representation, like at a vertical, but being able to focus on a single platform as an engineering manager is pretty great from my perspective, from an engineering manager perspective, right? There's a ton of focus that you can apply. The platforms obviously like can be close, but what I started to notice was that they're all at different, like the technologies, sure, like you can understand all that, you can find a way to learn all that stuff, but team dynamics and maturity levels in terms of process and maturity levels in terms of the team makeup and all that stuff can vary widely. Not necessarily just a specific, or not a Twitter specifically, but it can be like anywhere. And so being able to focus on one platform is pretty great. Now, we don't have from my perspective, now we don't have like a ton of results yet. We just sort of started this. So it's pretty early on, but I have really appreciated the amount of focus that I was able to put into it. And it also lets sort of like the engineering manager sort of shine in the area that they're most comfortable in, right? Like I'm of course most comfortable in Android development. So like it makes a lot of sense for me to work in that area. Ian, my peer, has a lot of familiarity with web. It makes sense for him to help lead that team, help drive technical discussions, help working on strategy. And then, you know, we're looking for an iOS EM manager to be our peer as well. So in a lot of ways, I think it makes a lot of sense. But the early returns are good, but I guess we'll see sort of how it holds up.
Very cool. Yeah, thanks for that answer. I have a couple of questions coming in through DMs. One of them being, this person has recently moved from working in smaller startups for a long time to a bigger company where they work in a cross-functional team with an EM. What should the expectations be from their engineering manager? So maybe someone who hasn't had an explicit engineering manager before, what should they expect? What should they look for?
Just to clarify, is that person coming as an IC, like they're trying to do that, or they're becoming an EM? I just want to make sure I'm answering it correctly.
Let's go with the assumption, yes, I don't have an explicit answer, but it sounds like this person is being managed by an engineering manager.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big change. I guess I can just kind of like say that. I also came from mostly smaller companies and for most of my career. And I think whether you're an IC or an EM, the change from going to either small startups and going to a larger company or a more established company, or certainly like a big tech, it is a totally different beast in so many different ways. It's almost hard to enumerate all of them. I think the biggest thing is that the biggest things you're going to have to get used to is that probably the pace of work will be a little bit slower, not in terms of the actual, you definitely are busy throughout the day, but the rate at which you're shipping and things like that typically are a little bit slower, if only that you're probably the scope of your work is larger. And the number of folks that you have to sort of coordinate are larger. So there should be some expectation, I think, from your side and from the engineering manager side that like the velocity at which you ran at a small startup is probably not going to be anywhere near the velocity that you run at a little bit slower at a bigger company. There's also going to be, I would sort of encourage you to take it easy on yourself in terms of like getting up to speed. There is a lot of stuff when you join a bigger company that take adjustments, both just from like a cultural perspective, how they work, what the rituals are, what the culture is like, overhead in terms of like probably like reviews and, you know, like career ladders and all sorts of stuff that you maybe didn't have the structure for. Now, some of that like sounds like it's pretty heavyweight and painful, but it is mostly there to help you and to help serve you and to have a level of fairness throughout the organization. So while it can be like heavyweight and kind of a burden sometimes, especially coming from like a smaller company, there's a reason that a lot of that stuff exists, and it's mostly to keep it fair and to help you. So I wouldn't go so far as to say like embrace it, but I think be aware of it, have the right expectation that stuff is there to help you. So take it easy on yourself. It's going to take a little time to get ramped up. I would say I've been at Twitter for 5 months. I'm like barely comfortable. I would say I was comfortable maybe at the end of 3 months, and that's when I sort of started, I guess, speaking my mind a little bit more. But for the first couple of months, I was just kind of like a deer in the headlights, trying to absorb as much as I could. So take it easy on yourself and ramp up over time.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. I think that's a really good consideration. Not something that I had considered. I've been in a position where I've had an engineering manager for a while and kind of forgot what it's like to not have one. Cool. So more questions are coming in. The next one is, how do you help your team deal with unrealistic timelines that might be set by a project manager?
Ideally, don't do that in the first place. So it's difficult to answer because like every company structure is different in terms of like, is there a project manager or whatever. Best case, you know, in that situation is that you have a partnership with either the product manager or the project manager and are aligned in terms of what you, like having realistic expectations of what you can deliver. And arbitrary timelines from an EM perspective, I guess timelines are not typically arbitrary. There's obviously typically some goal to that. But setting expectations up very, very early is the key to all of this. So that whatever exercises that you need to do in terms of like resourcing your team or making sure you have enough capacity or you're staggering the work in the right way, like the key thing there is making sure that you have those conversations early and you set those expectations early. Like fight that battle way up front. Like it's a painful part, right? Like in Q1, if you're doing like you're planning for the year or planning for the quarter, like you have to be willing to take that. You have to be willing to have the hard conversations then, not later. Like if you start having those conversations in February, you know, the cake is already in the oven. Like it's already cooking and the expectation is going to be ready for the end of the quarter or whatever. So hopefully I didn't stretch that metaphor too thinly. But yeah, I guess that would be my biggest thing. Like if you've already have established deadlines and you have to meet them, then I think the best thing you can do is communicate the risk over and over and over and over. Like basically communicate like, I don't think that we're going to hit this and here are the reasons why. And then here's the potential solutions of how we can get there. At a certain point, if you miss, but you've communicated all of that all the way through to the point at which you hit the deadline, you get to the deadline, and you've said over and over and over, like, I've written down, like, here's a way we can get out of it. We can move the date. We can cut scope. We can add more people, whatever it is. Typically adding people is not going to be the solution. Whatever those things are, if you're communicating them early and often, that's the best you can do. That's the only thing you can do. And I think most rational people who want to deliver are okay with that as long as you communicate it. Of course, I'm sure there are situations where people are just, you know, beating you up to try to get to a deadline. And I don't know that there's any real good solution for that.
Yeah, I think I agree with all of that. And communication is just the key point. And that's kind of what you can rely on your manager for. Yep. If you are an individual contributor, and speaking from my own experience, if something ends up being more complex than you thought, or just you're not going to hit those deadlines, communicate with your manager, and then they will hopefully be able to listen to you and take that advice and take that to the people who need to hear it and communicate with them. And, you know, deadlines are essentially made up anyway, yep. So they can be altered. Yep. So yep. Do what you can, just communicate it.
Yep, definitely.
Awesome. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Cool. We got a couple more questions. This one is one of my favorites, and I wish I had thought of it myself, but I got it from a DM, and it is, as an individual contributor, how can you tell that your engineering manager is doing a good job?
We should have somebody who reports to me to answer. I see them in here. I think that very much, I think you'll know they're doing a good job if you feel supported, like, period, end of story. Like, if you feel like whatever it is that you need help on, that you're getting that help, then I think your engineering manager is doing a good job. And that varies very much different, you know, from person to person. So that could be just, in some cases, just listening to you vent and not having all the answers, like just listening to you. It could be part of that. It could be like tactically, like literally just going to get you answers. I need help executing on this. Can you help me get through that? There's all sorts of like different variations on this, and it very much depends on the person and what they need. But if you feel supported, like most of the time, and you feel like that person is getting you the stuff that you need and answering your questions and has your best, like very much feels like they have your best interest at heart and gives you the autonomy and the freedom to make some of your own, you know, to make your own choices. Those I think are like the key elements, right? It's very much the stuff that I try to think about where I want to encourage people to be able to advocate for themselves, speak up, say what they want, be direct with me, and then I can very much help make a lot of that happen, hopefully. But it's hard to do that if like folks don't advocate. But again, we come back to that trust and relationship stuff, right? Where people will start to advocate for themselves and speak up to you as a manager if they feel comfortable with you. And if they don't, then they won't do that. So that's kind of the key element. But yeah, I think if your manager, if you feel like you're supported, and you don't dread talking to them in a one-on-one, you're probably on a good track.
Awesome. Yeah, lots of good things to think about. Very cool. Madonna, how are you?
Enjoying the conversation and loving all those answers. Great answers, Dan. And thank you very much for taking this opportunity to come and answer some questions and spend your afternoon with us.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, this has been amazing. I've really learned a lot, and I'm probably going to have to play back and listen to this recording later despite having to hear myself talk. Very cool. So I have a couple questions still that I've been writing down, as long as everyone's still feeling energized. Excuse me. So talking about moving into management and giving up code, we may have touched on this a little bit earlier, but how do you still get that fixed, or do you still feel like you want to contribute to some sort of project or work on code and like keep building things?
Yeah, I mean, I think that might have been my tweet about that might have been the thing that sparked having this conversation in the first place. But yeah, I definitely do have the urge to code here and there, and then when you don't get it at work necessarily, then you know the desire to sort of do it can go one of two ways. Either you like forget about it and you're just too tired to do it, or it like grows and grows and grows. I'm sort of somewhere in between right now, and I don't have a good solution for it. I do have I think I've admitted as much, like I have like this really deep rooted fear that the further and further away that I get away from the code and from my technical background and understanding how things are actually built, that that can be a problem for me, both as like, just like my personal career trajectory. Like, what if I don't want to be an EM for the rest of my life? That concerns me. I've also had managers who maybe were too far away from the code and their ability to relate to me and to our team, like, can like waned, right? Like they weren't able to have productive discussions. So it's a concern that I definitely have, and I don't have a good answer. I would love to hear if other people do have answers, but I am definitely a little concerned about that. And, you know, like working nights and weekends on my own side projects and stuff like that is certainly a way, but, you know, 5-10 hours a week on that is just not the same, and it's probably not enough. So yeah, it's definitely a concern. It doesn't like affect my day-to-day, my work. I'm not like losing sleep over it or anything like that, but occasionally like it creeps into my brain. Now, when I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm at night and I'm wasting time on my phone, like, sure, I could be doing those things. So, you know, I'm not like obviously super concerned about it in that regard, but it's on my mind. And yeah, I don't have a real good answer for it.
Yeah, that's got to be hard. That's something that's always been in my thoughts as well, if I ever went that path. And it's kind of what's holding me right now where I am, because I feel like I'm not done building yet. So,
and I should mention, like,
it's definitely a challenge.
I have done this once. So I went the engineering management sort of path, went very like PM focused, and then dug myself, quote unquote, dug myself out of that hole and went back into the technical track. So I basically like was a server-side Java developer, decided I want to go the manager path, kind of started doing that for a while. And then in, I don't know what it was, 2012 or something like that, I decided like, I want to get back to programming. I miss it. I need to do it. I want to build things. And so I like clawed my way back into it, and I sort of landed in Android because of my Java experience, which I think is a common story. But yeah, like, so I've sort of clawed my way back before. So like, I guess in some ways I should be relieved by the fact that I know I could do it, but the energy to do it is significant, like to kind of bring yourself back up to speed. And, you know, the other thing is that like Android specifically is very fast moving, right? Like in a year, if I'm away from, like, I would say that I haven't really touched code, you know, in earnest for probably 7 or 8 months. I don't know what the hell is going on anymore. Like I'm listening to some of the conversations that my team is having, and they're legitimately like, wow, I don't know what any of this is. Like roughly I know what it is, but the details of it are escaping me. So it moves so quickly now that I think your how far away you get from it can go very quickly. Like in a year, you could be very much, very much sort of behind the eight ball. I think there's some debate whether like that's a legitimate concern. I've heard when I sort of launched that tweet, people have told me like, you know, you shouldn't worry about it. Like being an EM, just be a good EM, and that's important, and that's what you should focus on. There are the other side of that too. Some people are like, yeah, you should stay close to the work. It's important for you to do that. So it's definitely a thing.
Awesome. Yeah, really, really interesting things to think about. And thank you for the answers. Sierra just got back to me with the YouTube video and threads that she was talking about. So I just pinned those into the space if anyone wants to learn about coding and mental illness. Or, well, there's two different options there. You can read the thread or watch that video. Seem to be really good resources. Madonna, do you have anything on your side?
I do not. And I just want to thank everybody again for coming to this amazing session by Dan. And again, thank you, Dan. I feel like I'm the commercial person. We do have a community, Android community. Please make sure you join. If you want an invitation, you can either request me or Dan, and we'll be ready to let you in. Otherwise, thank you very much, Dan. This was awesome. I'm enjoying listening at this because it's something I've always thought about, just to be a manager, but I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, and if anybody ever has any questions, I'm happy to answer. And of course, feel free to DM me or get in touch with me. I also want to say that thanks to Matt and Madonna for doing this stuff. Like, this is not easy. This takes time. Running communities and doing community events takes time and effort. So I really appreciate you all doing it. I think we all know the Android community is a very strong community. It's one of the things that continues to keep me interested in technology. So I very much appreciate your efforts here. And thank you all for coming.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So as a final question, we like to ask guests if they have a book recommendation, and it doesn't have to be technical. It can just be something you enjoyed or read recently. It can be technical. It's really whatever you want to recommend.
Yeah, so there's a couple on my bookshelf right now. So if you want a management book, I would probably recommend Radical Candor by Kim Scott. There are elements in there that you can definitely take out of it. I mean, there's some of it is very strongly opinionated, but there's a lot of stuff that you can pull out of Radical Candor that you can use almost directly as a team. I think like even people who are ICs can learn a lot from it about like what they should expect from their managers in terms of like having building relationships and having direct conversations and a lot of the stuff that goes into sort of manager one-on-one stuff. So if the topic of management is something that you want to do and doing it in a healthy, I think that's a really good book to have on your bookshelf. And then for fun, I would just say recommend anything by David Sedaris because he's just hilarious and weird. So I have a couple books on my bookshelf from him. But yeah, that's what I got.
Awesome. And before we wrap up, I just want to shout out that next week we will be having another space with a panel of guests from the Android Dev community. I will be posting more information about that this weekend, most likely. So stay tuned. Anything from you, Madonna?
Nope. This was great. Thank you again, Dan.
No problem. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan. This was awesome.
I have one more thank request. I don't know if this is going to be done, but it's just, I'm going to float it out there. On the reactions, we need a heart.
Oh, there's no heart? Like,
there's no, no heart. Yet, the irony is, the little thing that we press to get the icons is a heart. How is that?
All right, hit me up with all your spaces feedback. I'll pass it along to the team.
Yes, we need a heart reaction. So we can
react. I think I've heard that. Like, I think I've heard that before. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dan. Thank you for everyone who tuned in. Really appreciate it. Go join the Android Developers community. It's really awesome. And you can just find it within your Twitter app. I think the Android Dev retweet bot is crying a little bit, but it is what it is. So we'll see y'all next Friday. And thanks for coming.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good day.
Bye, everybody.